Today on Managing Your Vote, I'll be talking about why it is so important that you manage your own vote and how to go about doing that. Those of you who are listening out there on the show, you can call in to talk, to join the conversation at 657-383-0613. And this is Managing Your Vote. And I'm Pastor A.J. Thompson. Today we're going to be talking about why it's so important for you to manage your vote. And how do you go about doing that? We hope that you'll call in with your comments and questions today and join us. This is a very important thing that we're going to be talking about. Managing your vote is a very important thing. And it's important not to just one person, but to every person. It's important to you whether you vote or whether you don't vote. It's still important for you to know the power of your vote, to know how to manage your vote. Even if you don't vote, the vote still belongs to you, so you still need to know how to manage that. Again, I'm Pastor A.J. Thompson, and I'm looking for you to call in today and join us on the show. That number, again, is 657-383-0613. It's 657-383-0613. One of the reasons that is so important for you to manage your vote, you know, especially those of you, I know some of you out there are sick and tired of the way things are going right now, going on in government, going on in your community, in your neighborhood, at your household, going on in your police department, going on in your local government, your federal government. You're sick and tired of that. You need to call this show today. Or if you may not be sick and tired of it, but you just you know, you wish it would be better. I want you to call in today. I want you to take a minute to call in. I want you to take a little time to listen in today. For you that you listen in, it's important that you know what powers are within your reach. It's important that you know what you have control of. Because many of the things that we complain about that's going on or not going on is within our power to do something positive about it. You know, we think many times that the only thing that we can do is protest. And sometimes we write letters. Sometimes some of us will write letters. But our power is way, way, way deeper than that, way more powerful than that. Our power comes from the highest power. It comes from God. And it comes from the highest power in our country. It comes from our founding fathers who set the foundation for the operations of our government, for our well-being, for our livelihood, for our safekeeping. All of 1062, go ahead. All of 1062, to know your power. Important for you to know about your vote, what your vote for. Not just know that, you know, you register to vote and go to the poll. That's not the end of it. That's not even the beginning of it. It's a lot more than that. I use this example a lot of times. I say, imagine that if you bought yourself a brand new car, or somebody gave you a brand new car, however you want to put it, and then you would turn around and give somebody else the key to your brand new car. That would ultimately return you to walking, right? Yeah. And so, if you want to know how to go about learning how to do these things, I understand we have a little technical difficulty. Is that better? Okay, we're talking about knowing how to manage your power. First thing you have to know about managing your power, you have to believe that you do have this power. Because if you don't believe you have the power, no amount of talking about managing your power is going to make you step up and do that. So we talk about, I'm going to use the Tamir Rice case, for instance, because everybody nationwide is talking about Melissa shooting case, murder case, that I call it, murder. Everybody's talking about something should have been done about that. Somebody need to do something about that. And I'm teaching you about managing your vote because that somebody, well, is you. That's somebody who the founding fathers appointed to do something about these things is you. The Declaration of Independence started off as when in the course of human events, that means when things go wrong, it falls on a people, the people, to take action to correct that, even to the point of removing and replacing government. And to specifically say that this is the power of the people. The people hold the highest power in the land. Our president don't hold the highest power in the land. Our governor don't hold the highest power in the land. and the land. Our police don't hold the power, highest power in the land. None of our elected or appointed or hired officials hold the highest power in our land. Instead, it is the people. The Founding Fathers drafted the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in such a way that the power of the people could not be diminished or dissolved in any way, which God already had done that first in the beginning. But the Founding Fathers did it again to make it perfectly clear. And they also make it perfectly clear that this power come from God, not from them. So it's important that you know that you, that your vote have power, that you have power, and it's important that you know how that power came about. It's important for you to know how your vote came about. I know most of you probably think your vote came about when they passed the law giving slaves and giving women the right to vote. But unfortunately, that's not true. But we've always had the right to vote, always had the power to vote, but you didn't always know that you did. And for people who didn't know that they have that power already, then they had to pass more legislation and more laws and more amendments to make you feel like you now have what you already had. Because people have been misguided for so very long. Our government has been misguided and corrupt for so long. And why? I know you want to say because of Senator so-and-so, because of Governor so-and-so, President so-and-so, or Councilman so-and-so, because somebody ain't doing that job, but that somebody is you. That somebody is me. That somebody is the person standing next to you, sitting next to you, or lying next to you. Those are the people who have the power to make the difference. So don't continue to do with your vote as giving away your car keys. You wouldn't just give your car keys, even if you let somebody drove your car, you wouldn't leave them in the hands of a perfect stranger, because you know you're not going to get your car back then. And so if you give your vote over to a perfect stranger, then pretty much you're not going to get what you was expecting to get from your vote. But if you do what you're supposed to do with your vote, you elect people but not give them your vote. You maintain control over your vote by maintaining your power. You are the supervising force of our government. You are the supervising entity, the people are. It's even written, so you may be the single-handed supervising individual when nobody else would do what needs to be done. Sometimes you might have to be that person to step up. And yeah, they're going to be opposition. But your greatest opposition is not the people in office that you have to go against. Your greatest opposition is the mentality of poor people who don't understand their power, because they don't want you to have it either. And not so much because they just don't want you to have it, because they don't understand that the power belongs to you and it belongs to them. And so in all their teaching and in all their food, all their eating, all those things are to condition them to oppression, to condition you to go against that everything is in your favor. And so getting back to managing your vote is putting things in order so that they work in your favor. Now, some people wonder when things go wrong, why don't God do something about it? Why is God allowing this to happen? I'm going to tell you why. Because God gave you the power to make changes and to stop things from going wrong to you and to other people. Because he tasked you with the responsibility of not just looking out for yourself, but first looking out for yourself, and then looking out for others also. And so, when God tasks you with the responsibility, the duty, and it ought to be a privilege and a pleasure to make sure that things run smoothly, then God is not going to step in when it go to running bad for you and straighten it out, when he's already empowered you to be able to do that. He's already given you all the knowledge and wisdom to be able to do that. He's given you the willpower to be able to do that. The only thing it's lacking is you making up your mind and deciding to do just that. I'm telling you, you have the power. This is Managing Your Votes, brand new internet radio show, teaching you about managing your vote. The call-in number, again, is 657-383-0613. That's 657-383-0613. I'm waiting for your call. This is important stuff. You would think the line would just be burning up right now. But I'm going to go continue to talk to you and tell you about managing your power and why that is important. I started talking about the Tamir Rice case. People are talking about that. Now, do you not know that in the Tamir Rice case and any other thing that goes wrong, there's such a thing in Ohio? I'm going to talk about Ohio right now because that's where I am. And because that is where these cases happen at in Ohio. Ohio Code of Civil, Ohio Revised Code 3519. That's Ohio Revised Code 3519. It's the code for initiative and referendums. That mandate is set aside for the people to make new legislation to correct old and bad legislation or anything that's not in your favor. To put like to change presidency policy on where people are hired at, where they come from. You can change the qualifications for the police, that policemen in your community would be able to qualify as police and then be trained for those jobs, because that makes all the difference. For example, in the Tamir Rice case, if the police officer had lived in that community, then he more than likely would have known of Tamir Rice and would have known of Tamir Rice's mother, maybe even father and grandfather, and a few aunts and uncles. That being said, then he would have knew this boy's character. He would have knew about his family. He would have been able to make a conscious decision on whether it was safe to approach him or not. Whether he could have just got out of the car and said, "Boy, give me that gun before you get yourself hurt. It's a toy. You shouldn't be playing talk to mama in the car like people used to do when the police lived in the community where the people lived. That is something you can do with your vote. Now, there's two ways you can do this. You can do this with petition and get it on a ballot, on a regular ballot, or you can put it on a special election ballot. There's all kind of power that you have to make it happen. You can also take civil actions and take it to court to get it changed. A judge has a power to make an opinion of what you are trying to have done, and then that opinion then supersedes the law that is already in existence. But before any of that can happen, you...
I have a question.
Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Thank you.
And this is...
This is Pastor Cheryl Thompson.
This is my Pastor
Cheryl. And my question... Hey, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. And my question is, I think I heard you said that the judge can pass a petition. Is that what you said?
No, I'm saying that one way you can do this, you can get a petition signed and get an issue put on a ballot. This would be an issue. Whenever there's something you want changed or corrected,
no, I
or
mean,
removed,
what did you say that the judge will do?
Now that was the other way. If you want to take your issue to civil court, to we call that a civil action, because you want some civil resolve done through the court system. And so,
yeah, but it's a word that you used about what the judge can do, and whatever that
okay.
word is, that's my question. What does that word mean?
That word is an opinion. The judge.
An opinion, right? What is
writes
that?
An opinion. That's a law. The judge write that. Each judge to write an opinion, and an opinion is a law. It can be a new law, or it can be a law that supersedes the existing law, whichever one that is needed. Now, if you get the judge to rule in your favor, something that's not already on the law book, and then that itself becomes a new law, and it becomes an opinion.
Let me make sure I'm hearing you clearly, because that's why I'm getting confused. So you saying
yes.
An opinion is something that a judge makes when there is no existing law?
Oh, not just when there's no existing law. It can be an existing law. And to change that existing law, to correct it, say, for instance, they can only have, the old law said that you can only ride horse and buggy down Lakeside. Okay, of course, nobody's driving horse and buggy anymore. And so, for instance, a police officer gave you a ticket for driving down Lakeview Avenue because the law says only horse and buggy. Say that old law is still on the books. Okay, they can legally give you a ticket for that if it's still on the books, even though everybody's driving cars now. But to get that corrected, you can go to civil court and have that brought before a judge, stating that and proving your case that everybody's driving cars, there are no horses on Lakeview Avenue or Lakeside Avenue anymore. And at that moment, that judge have the power to write his opinion to correct that. Mandate to say that now cars are permitted. He can write that now everybody's driving cars, so cars are hereby permitted to be on Lakeside and Lakeview Avenue. And it's so ordered by that judge. And that's that become a law that supersedes the old law that said only horse and buggy could ride down that street.
So the opinion is the rewrite of it. That's what opinion means, to rewrite something.
Well, you keep saying re-rule. It's not just a re-rule, because sometimes it's not an existing law and it needs to be one. So it's also to make a new law.
Okay, so that's how you get a law. Either how you get a law for it, or to correct a law that's already for it, you have to do it through a judge and have this thing called an opinion to happen.
Well, that's just one way. The
uh-huh.
other two ways I was saying was the other way, but there's many ways. Whichever way that you feel like that you're going to get the victory out of what you're trying to do. If you're going to use petition and you feel like not many people are going to sign the petition, and then I would go with the civil action, because then you don't need the people to sign the petition.
Okay, I understand it is more than one way. I'm just trying to get straight this way. I mean, I know what you're saying. I don't have to use this way, but I'm just trying to get clear on what you were saying about how this way works. Because I understand the other ones. I just was confused on this particular one.
Okay. So what is it that, what else can I say? What do you need me to clear up?
Okay. I think you cleared it up. I just didn't know what an opinion was. When you said the judge then writes an opinion, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, that opinion becomes the new rule. It becomes the new law, or the new rule, or the new regulation.
So is it literally his opinion, or they just call it that? That's what I'm trying to get. What, you know, if I look up opinion, what is the description of an opinion? Is it a written law by a judge? What
the description of the opinion, it's also referred to as case law.
Okay.
It's also referred to as case law. And so
right.
If you don't know, if you want to look for something, if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, then you start off by looking for case law. If you don't remember that, just type in opinions, then / whatever you're looking for. Or case law, / whatever you're looking for. You know, online. Or you can call the law library. Sometimes they'll answer your question. But if you really want to know for yourself, you need to go find out. You need to go to the law library.
I just didn't.
Or you need to look the law up online, you know, because that's the best way to find out. And I say that because there's so many people in these positions that mislead people and tell people the wrong thing. For example, I was at the Board of Education, Board of Elections, and I was talking to them about procedures for removing a judge. And they told me that they didn't have any, that Ohio don't have any procedures for removing a sitting judge, which I had already researched that. And Ohio have many ways to remove a sitting judge. In fact, I've even used one of them myself so that I know that it works. And so
I just wasn't familiar. I just wasn't familiar with the legal term opinion. That's all I was, like I said, I'm getting everything else you're saying. It's just when you said opinion, that threw me, because I wasn't familiar with that legal term and what it meant.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's a very important opinion to remember, because that opinion becomes the law or replace the law. You know, whatever the situation is.
Whichever applies.
Right. And so,
okay, and
keep up with that law. So it's up to the individual, it's up to the people to keep up with these laws, because because they make a case law or opinion don't necessarily mean that they're going to change the code because they can't keep up. So it's up to the people who deal with the situation and circumstances to find out about what code, what opinion, and what case law relate to what they're trying to do or relate to whatever their situation is.
And I had another question or comment.
Right.
I believe it's the just Declaration of Independence.
Anybody, hold on just a minute. Anybody else out there calling that want to call in or just listening in, we appreciate a call from you. The number is 657-383-0613. That number again is 657-383-0613. This is Managing Your Vote. I'm your host, Pastor A.J. Thompson. Go ahead now.
Okay. I believe it's the Declaration of Independence. Doesn't it state that the person has to be an upstanding citizen, if you will, and there's, you know, in good standing as far as not having a lot of criminal stuff against them? And my question is, that's not something, though, that can stop you from doing what you're talking about just because you might have a criminal record, is it?
Well, first of all, the Declaration of Independence, it does not say that stops you in any way. It makes no mention of that stopping you. It said these.
I didn't say stop you. I said it's saying that as a citizen, though, you got to be with, you know, in good standing as a citizen. And then I was wondering, if you're not, I don't think that stops you, though, from proceeding with, you know, the things that you're talking about we can do. Just because you have a criminal record, that doesn't mean that you cannot do these things. It means you still can. I'm saying that because a lot of people think because they got a criminal record, they can't do nothing. And I'm saying that that's not true.
Well, what you mean when you say in good standing, what's your definition of good standing?
Remember what it say verbatim, but I remember reading it before. But it's saying, you know, as a citizen, you know, you can't have like a lot of arrests on your report, and you know, you can't have a lengthy record, I guess you could say.
Well,
because then they feel like your privileges are kind of revoked if you have a lengthy criminal record. And I'm saying, but you can still do those things even with a criminal record.
Well, I'm going to tell you that the Declaration of Independence make no mention of that whatsoever. It don't
what
talk
document
about
is that?
Independence. The United States Declaration of Independence, that don't say that. Now, that doesn't mean that whoever had that Declaration of Independence that you had did not have it interpreted that way. Because people interpret and mislead people to make people think. But what the real Declaration of Independence says is that you have these unalienable power that nobody can take away from you. Even if you're behind bars and you see something going wrong, you still have the power. Now, the problem with you having a record is not that the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or Bill of Rights precludes you in any way, but the problem is that people who are ignorant, people who are mean and hateful and low down, they'll come against you. And people who are weak-minded, who don't understand that this is still your power and still your right, regardless of your situation. Even the boy who walk around with his pants down below, showing his butt, have this power to do that. Now, if that power if anybody gonna take that very serious, I doubt it. But the But the Declaration of Independence, it don't speak against that in any way. Now, however, there are certain places like going to civil court, for instance, if you want to handle a matter or address an issue with a civil issue through a civil action, then the dress code is suit and tie. So if you don't know that, you might find yourself sitting out in the courtroom because nobody is going to tell you that you need a suit and tie. And so they're going to make you sit in the courtroom like a criminal, like a person with low standards. So then you have to demonstrate your own standards. And sometimes, in many cases, if that your standards are real low, you're going to have to raise your standard to make it happen.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. But for, again, that people study and research the Declaration of Independence for themselves, because I remember being taught about these things in school, but they didn't teach me what it was. They told me things just like you just got through saying. And so they teach people wrong from the beginning, because we live in a society that teach people to be of low standard, to teach people so that they can be controlled and not be the controllers that they were designed to be. It's so important. But when you don't know for yourself, then you get caught up believing what other people say or believing what somebody else writes. You know, all government stuff is open to the public. Now, there are some crooked people who work in these document places, so they're always changing the web address, so you got to find it again and stuff like that. That's low down. But it's your responsibility to find it. If you find it once, you can find it again. And then you can also put an issue on the ballot to stop them from changing the address, to make it easy to find. Almost every problem that we talk about, by managing your vote, you can change that. You can fix that. You can remember that. You can remove them. You can replace them. You can even become them. For many positions that people are in where things aren't running right, it's not running right because you're supposed to be the one that's elected for that office when you haven't even registered to campaign yet. You know, because you have been of a mindset and conditioned, most people have been conditioned to think that you don't qualify right off the bat. Like there's certain political offices, if you have a criminal record, the law has been changed that you can't hold those offices. It wasn't always that way. Some people who you elected to office, when I say you, I mean the people. Well, when you elected them to office so that they could keep their position and so that their friends could only have these positions, they changed the rules to prohibit the people who lived in these communities from being able to qualify. And so the minute you get somebody that want to make a ruling on something and make it so that you don't qualify for a position in your own neighborhood, then they're the people then you need to get rid of. And that's how you manage your vote. Anything else or any comments or else you'd like to share? Callers? Any other callers?
I'm sorry, I forgot I was on mute. So I was talking and you couldn't hear me. No, but that's all. You answered my question and I understand what you're saying. So that's all I have.
This is Managing Your Vote. It's a brand new internet radio talk show. It's like a classroom, more or less, on talk show. knowledge and share your knowledge and experience, because there are people out here that need to know that the law works, because most people won't even try to see, because they're convinced already that the justice system is broken. I'm here to tell you on my should not be there. There are some people who should be in prison. There are some people who should be replaced. There are some people who shouldn't be in prison, and they just shouldn't be on the job working for us as the people, because they don't have our best interests at heart. And so the make your vote and become the supervising force that you are, because as a people, you are the supervising force. We're going to take a little break right now, and we'll be back in a minute. Come back. If you have to step away, just come on back and jump in, and we'll pull you right up. The number again is 657-383-0611. managing your vote. I'm Pastor A.J. Thompson, and I'm your host for today. And before we get started talking some more about managing your vote, I want to remind you about Getting Smart in the Park 2016, becoming in July 23rd, 2016, at Luke Easter Park. It's going to be from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. It's a family event. The event is going to host and represent. It's going to introduce empowerment and awareness. It's going to have vending, entertainment, food, and fun. We're going to deal with, going to have some speakers, some real good speakers going to be coming out there. One of the real good entertainers we're expecting this year is Brother Eddie McGowan. I tell you, you won't be able to be still. If you ain't used to praising God, you won't be able to help yourself when he comes out and perform for us. And not just the form, he's going to get you involved. Also, we want to remind you to be sure to call in on Friday on Truth is Freedom with our very own host and who's the owner and founder of the show, Pastor Cheryl Thompson. That's Truth is Freedom on Friday. The number is to call is 657-383-0613. That's Truth is Freedom. And be sure to catch Sister Tina Hobson, that is. Most of us know her as a superwoman because she promotes women being superwomen. Be sure to join her show on Friday, Superwoman, and also Spotlight on Cleveland. Then just come right on around on Monday night and join Brother Al Porter for his show. You know, Al Porter, he's president of Black on Black Crime Incorporated, and he'll also host his show, Hip Hop Workshop, with some very interesting issues. So be sure to call in and support these shows, and most of all, call in and learn things. Call in and share good things. You know, not the crazy stuff. Share good and positive things. Support these shows or put on the air, and let us not forget about Brother Charles Yancey. Most of you know him as Mr. Yancey, and his show is Who Has the Power. Be sure to tune in to each of these shows, and if you can't tune in to all of them, catch as many as you can, or whatever you catch, catch Managing Your Vote again on next Tuesday. And I'm Pastor A.J. Thompson. I'm your host. And again, we're talking about today why it is so important to manage your vote. Paula, I see you still there. You have any more questions or comments of anybody else? Come on, call in. These are some questions you need answers. If you don't want to answer them on the air, ask yourself, why is it important to manage your vote? Ask yourself, why is it important for me to manage my vote? It's necessary for you to manage your vote. If you look around and you see things ain't going right, that's a good reason why it's important for you to manage your vote. We have corruption scandals in Cuyahoga County about every 7 to 8 years or 10 years. That's a good reason to manage your vote. That's also the evidence that the people of Cuyahoga County have not been managing their vote. I know Jimmy DeMoro went down for the last scandal. But Jimmy DeMoral wasn't the only one. According to the Declaration of Independence, when you manage your vote, you know you're supposed to get rid of all those scandals and replace them with new people that are not connected with them. And so it's important for you to know what all you can do with your vote. I hope after this show is over today that those of you who are listening have come to understand that you can do a lot of things with your vote. Now, I know somebody is asking or thinking, what if I don't vote? Then what? Well, if you don't vote, your power is still not lost. It still can't be taken away from you. Now, you won't be able to use the method of petition because you have to be a registered voter in order to execute the petition. And so then that'll leave you with an avenue of being able to present an issue to your council or to your elected officials for them to get it done. Or the other thing is you can use a civil action approach in order to make the necessary change that you need or to gain the necessary resolve that you need. And see, when you learn how to manage your vote, you know, I talked earlier about the Tim and Melissa case. Now, when you're managing your vote, there was a whole lot of things that went wrong with that. A lot of people weren't managing their vote. It's just like, you know what that saying is, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will do what? Play. Right? And so that's what happens all the time. It happened to people sometimes who had good intentions, but because the cat was away, or because the manager was away, because you were not managing your vote, then the mice and the rats played. They stole. They become corrupt. They abused and misused. When they came over, Cleveland police came over to East Cleveland. Cleveland police should have stopped them at the door because they was in violation. But because you wasn't managing your police did not manage your perimeter. They let outside forces breach your perimeter because you were not managing them. And the people who breached that perimeter, they also breached it because the people who were managing them were not managing them. Because many of them would have never been on the job. Because they would have known to stop. Somebody would have known what a car that backfired sound like. None of your government officials got involved in presenting legal actions against any of these police officers. They didn't do that because you didn't manage them. So since you didn't manage them, they didn't manage the problem that you had in East Cleveland and in the city of Cleveland. It's all because, again, you did not manage them. Just imagine if you were driving down the road in your car again, or street, however you want to call it, and if you turn your steering wheel loose, it might go straight for a minute, and then sooner or later, probably on Cleveland Street even sooner, it's going to crash because something is going to cause it to deviate from the highway. And then at some point, it's probably going to even leave the pavement. So this is equivalent to you not managing the people that you have in office. This is equivalent to you not managing your vote. You just went up there and voted. Somebody got the job, and that was it. If that was your factory, it would be closed down by now. If that was your personal business, it would have went out of business already. Because it needed a manager. The employees of the business, they don't have the same thing at stake as the owners of the business. So Therefore, they want to get enough so they don't put as much in. Caller?
Hello?
755, go ahead. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Bobby in Los Angeles. I'm actually the greatest caller in the history of radio. Thank you for taking my call then.
Oh, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, before I tell you why I call, I just want to make sure, because on Blog Talk Radio, it seems like there's a lot of radio hosts who are very picky about certain things, so I just want to verify, are callers allowed to bring up any topic they want, or do we have to stay on topic?
Right now, we're staying on the topic, and we're talking about managing your vote.
Oh, so we're not allowed to go over any other topic, huh?
So, yeah, do you have anything that you would like to share or ask on managing your vote?
I mean, I had a great topic to bring up, and I think it would have been great radio, but it's your program. I mean, if you think it has to stay on topic, then I guess it's not allowed then, right?
Yeah, you kind of have to pick a show that is dealing with the particular topic that you're on. But we're,
okay.
Like I said, we're on managing your vote, and we're talking about
okay.
That so important because people are complaining about things going on wrong or not going right or not going on at all. And when you learn the problem,
I guess. Yeah, I guess it's related to that. I do have something about like a law that I don't like. Is that okay?
Okay, let's hear.
Okay. And if you don't agree with my topic, please let me know first, because I don't want you to feel like you have to hang up and get upset. Like, give me a chance to explain and defend myself, because you may not agree. You might not agree then, you know?
Okay.
I think it is morally wrong, okay, morally wrong, to put a man in jail and punish a man, or any human being in general, just because he had permission to have sex with a woman under 18.
Okay.
Oh, I'm curious, before I continue, would you agree or disagree, or what?
Somebody that's under 18?
Yes.
Well, that's a subject right there that I would love to talk on. But this is not the show I want to talk on it on, because biblically, families start at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree.
You know,
so when you were talking about managing your vote,
it's not just a sex thing. It's a moral responsibility thing. It's
right,
not just
okay.
About
so at least it,
you know.
Okay, so at
but
least
again,
it sounds like you. Yeah.
But again, you have to be living in a place where people live by that law. And
so, but when you were talking about managing the vote, you know,
to change the law where you live.
Oh yeah, no, I get that. But when you were talking about managing the vote, you know, when it comes to voting, there's really not much people can do for voting, because what's really strange about this law is that in some states it's legal, just depends on what the age is, and other states it's illegal. So a man in one state may go to jail, and a man in another state may not go to jail.
Well, that depends on your situation or whoever you're talking about, their situation. You have to change. You manage your vote by executing your power to make the change that suits your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. May I ask, are you part of any political party?
I used to be a part of the Democratic Party when I ran for office years ago, but I have not maintained my membership.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're independent now?
I guess you could say that I'm for what's right. And sometimes Republicans are right, and sometimes Democrats are right. I'm for whoever's going to benefit me. I'm not just for Democratic because I'm black.
Okay. I particularly don't even, I mean, I'm painting a broad brush here, but generally, I don't respect the Republican Party because it is a lot of hypocrisy. They claim they believe in small government, less spending, covering the borders, you know, all these things that are supposedly conservative. And then when they're in power, they spend money, they built up the government, They don't protect the borders. So I just don't understand why they blame the left. Say it again?
What are you going to do? So what would you do to manage your vote to do something about that?
I mean, there's two things you can do. First of all, don't vote Republican. Not never. But if you're a conservative and you want to vote for a conservatism, are you going to get that with the Republican if they're not even conservative? So what's the point of voting Republican if you want a conservative? A lot of them, or at least some of them, are not conservative. There was a guy.
Hold on, Mike.
Yeah.
This show now is about managing your vote. And depending, regardless of who you're going to vote for, it's about managing your vote for whoever you vote for. Because when you're managing your vote, then you get to manage whoever's in office, whether they're Democratic or whether they're Republican. You get to manage them too. You voted Democratic, but a Republican person got elected. You don't not manage them because they're Republican. When you vote, now you have the power to manage them also. You have a duty to manage them. You have a duty to, when something don't go right, you have a duty to take the necessary formal steps to do something about it.
But what about those who feel that there's only, for example, for presidency, there's only a two-party system? What about that?
Hey, you're breaking up pretty bad. I don't know what the problem, but can you try to say that again, please?
Oh, yeah. How about now? Is it better now?
Yeah.
Okay. What about those who have the opinion that there's only a two-party system, so you only have two options for that then, or three, I guess, if you don't vote for anyone, or an independent, or four?
Well, I'm going to answer that question with a question. What do the Declaration of Independence say about a two-party system for electing president?
I don't think it's a connection issue. I think there's the blog talk. I'm having a little hard time understanding it. Are you on a speakerphone, or are you far away? Or
I'm on a microphone.
Oh, there you go. That's better. That's better.
What does the Declaration of Independence say about there being a two-party system for running for election?
I don't know.
Well, you need to know that, because it don't say nothing about that. It don't limit nothing to a two-party system, because a two-party system has been established. You can establish another party at any time. You can also, if you meet the qualification to run for that office, you can run for as a write-in without having to go out and initially campaign. You can run as a write-in.
It's become a monopoly. I mean, they're in power. They're controlling things, you know, or they have big influence then, Water Garden.
Okay, I didn't hear what you said again.
Their Democratic Party and Republican Party are very strong. They have a lot of power, influence, and stuff, you know.
Well, the reason they have a lot of power and influence, because the people have not been managing their vote, and so they have stolen the power of the people, and that's why they have more power than they should have. They've turned their position as a senator, for instance, I'm just using that for an example. They have turned their position as a senator into their personal dynasty instead of a job that they are hired to do in the behalf of the people. And so the people have to correct that wrong by managing their vote. Somebody driving your car, this is your car, and then when they're not driving it up to your standards, are not going where you want them to go with it, what do? You take your car back.
I don't think you disagreed with me for the first topic I called in about. I guess there's no really need for debate. Seems like you agreed with me. I want to verify, just to make sure. You did agree with me, right?
Okay, you're breaking up again. You need to say what you said last again.
How about now? Is it better now?
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay. No, I guess I was saying, since it seemed like you agreed with me with the first topic I brought up, so I guess there's no need for me to go into that anyway, since you agreed. And then I was like, well, I don't want to make an assumption. So let me just verify. Did you actually agree with me on the first topic or no?
I agree with the Bible, and I also agree with the law for wherever you live at. That's the law. Wherever you live at, that's the law. That's what you should follow. If you don't like the law where you live at, you're in a position.
Do you think it's morally right to put a man in jail for that in general?
Well, you're asking somebody that don't think anybody should be put in jail.
Okay. Not even murderers and rapists?
No, I'm saying, to me, I don't think should be in jail.
Okay.
You should have the power to do that to another person.
Let me rephrase my question. Do you think it's morally right to punish a man if he had sex with permission to have sex with a woman under 18, in general?
You're going back to going back away from my subject again. I already said what I thought about that. And hold on, caller number 1492. I'll be right with you. My opinion about that. Is I agree with the Word of God. Most people don't know what the Word of God says about that, because
I understand. But you said you agree with the laws. That's how law is, and that's how it is.
If they did, they would finish. They would live by what the Bible says, especially those people who are claiming to be Christians. For the law, if the law is set up in a place that's okay, then I say follow that law. If the law is set up,
you're saying any law is a just law?
I'm saying
or follow
any
law, no matter what the law is.
If it's a law that you should follow it, and if you don't like the law, let me finish.
When black people were slaves, that was okay. It was a law.
That was never a law.
Black people couldn't vote. Black people weren't citizens. Come on, was that okay?
That was never a law. Managing your vote.
Okay.
People have been teaching this today as I'm talking about managing your vote. The founding fathers wrote the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence so that there never should have been slavery in the first place.
I understand what you're saying. I understand. But I'm saying at some point it happened where it was legally allowed to have black people as slaves. Blacks couldn't vote. Blacks weren't treated as equal citizens. They could be beaten, tortured, whatever. It was legal. It was allowed. And if it was illegal, it happened anyway. Even if you disagree and you say it was illegal, it happened.
Hold on. I got another caller. I'll get back to you, Mike, if you can hold on, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Am I still on or am I muted here? What's going on?
Hello?
1-4-9. Yes.
Hello? Hi,
yes,
Pastor Thompson. How are you?
Where are you calling from?
Hi, Pastor Thompson. My name is Michelle, and I'm calling from Northern California.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello?
What's your question?
Hello, Michelle? Hello? This is Michelle. Pastor Thompson?
Yes, I'm here. What's your question comment, Michelle? Yes.
I just wanted to say I enjoy your show on, and I get what you're talking about as far as managing your vote. And what the caller is trying to do, it seems like, I don't know why he seems to need to have a commitment from you, an answer, when you've already answered the question several times and yet he persists. And I would rather have you continue with your show on managing the vote. But it's your show. Anyway, I just thought I would say that. And as far as the slavery thing that he was talking about, it wasn't a law, but it wasn't... It happened, but it wasn't illegal. It wasn't legal, but it did happen, and that was because people didn't manage their vote, manage their lives to where it could have ended sooner. Anyway, thanks a lot, Pastor Thompson, and I'll be waiting to listen to your show.
Well, I thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. And it's true, it's so many things that people don't know that they get caught up on believing what people have told them. And people misguide people's mind, behavior alteration, so make people believe things that are not true. You know, and so on this show, we want to set some things straight and set in order and make sure that we let the people who have the power, who own the power, know that it belongs to them.
And I thank you for that, sir. Thank you very much, Pastor Thompson. Good show.
Thank you so much. Continue to listen, please, and call in anytime.
Thank you, Pastor Thompson. Have a good day. I will. I'll be listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
You too. We thank that caller for calling California again with good message, good encouragement. Thanks a lot. Hey, caller 8755, go ahead.
Okay, you've been very nice to me. You've been very respectful, and you're giving me time to be on your programs. So I want you to know that I'm very thankful for the time you're giving me, for the respect you're giving me, and for the opportunity. Having said that, do you mind if I just offer some constructive criticism? It's okay in a respectful way?
Is it about managing your vote?
It's just, I'm going to get to that. I work in radio,
not manage,
okay?
I'd rather that you just message it to me on Facebook. I really appreciate that. Want to talk
right.
further?
It's your it's your program. I guess if you're not going to allow it, then it's your program. I mean, I'm trying. I think I can help the program be really fun and entertaining. But it's just frustrating as a caller. You know, you call into a program, and the radio host wants to tell you what topic is okay, and they mute your call, and they don't give you time. It's just frustrating, and I just don't get why some hosts are like that. I mean, good radio is when you have callers call in and debate and go over things. When you start muting callers and telling them what topic's okay and stuff like that, that's not going to help the program.
Well, I can't speak for other people.
Hello?
Other people show Mike. But
hello?
This particular show, yes, I'm here.
Hey, are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, no, it
sounded
like you went far away. Sorry. Yeah, there you are. Hi, it sounded like you went far away. Sorry.
Okay. I can't speak for other shows, but this particular show is designed to be like a class, more or less. It's not for debating. You know, it's for some questions and some comments about this particular subject, because this is what's dear to my heart, to help people understand all the things that they've been misguided about the government, about laws, and about who they are, and about their
mm-hmm.
power. That's why it's so important that I stay on course with this thing, so that hopefully that we can get some people who want to engage in their power and straighten out this big mess that people complain about all the time but never do anything about, because they're the ones who are empowered to do something about it.
Well, I mean, it's your program, so obviously if that's how you feel, I respect that. It's your program. You can do it any way you want. I'm just letting you know I work in radio, and I know what good radio is. You had a girl call in right now who didn't understand why I was asking questions. It would have been more entertaining if you let me talk to her and explain myself to her, but you put me on mute, and then the call, I get into the call, and like there was no opportunity there, and now she's not going to understand. I could explain it now, but you want me to stay on topic about how to manage your vote. And again, it's your program, and I respect everything you're telling me, but if you want it to be popular,
I think you
should let callers engage and go over things and stuff.
You keep telling me you respect what I'm trying to do on my show, but you keep trying to change my subject. And I have to stick with the course. If you want me to talk about a particular subject that related to managing, if you'll message me on Facebook, and if I research that, and if I can talk about it, because I'm not going to talk about anything unless I know about it first, unless I know about it for sure, not just based on what somebody else say about that. I don't want to be one of the people that I'm trying to get people to stop listening to. I want to be
I'm assuming there are some topics you already have information on you don't need to research, right? I mean, if you don't know, that's fine, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of subjects that I'm trying to cover here in managing your vote. There's so many subjects about this, and so I'm trying to stay dedicated to this, and anybody who wants to talk about this particular thing, managing your vote, not that I want to get around what you're talking about sometime, but right now I'm on managing your vote, and I'm at the very elementary part about it. The very basic.
Okay, so like you know how you were saying there's some topics you want to research first before you give an opinion. I mean, if that's the case, when a caller brings up a topic, why not just say that? And then, you know, I guess we move on. But you didn't say you didn't know the topic. It seemed like you had an opinion. Remember you were telling me that you go by the Bible and you said you go by the laws. So it seemed like you had an opinion about it. I didn't. Was that the case, that you didn't have information on it or what?
I have an opinion about the subject you're talking about. I have research about that, but that's not the subject I'm talking about today.
Okay. And when the lady called why I'm asking you the question and you already answered it, why not let me explain it to her?
Not this time. You wanna send me something on Facebook, and I can get that to her. But right now, I need my show to stay the course. And the course is managing your vote. And it's not about managing your vote. I don't mean to be disrespectful to you, but I don't want to talk about it on my show unless it's about this. This is trying to drive. Because in managing your vote, you can rectify the thing that you're talking about.
Okay.
You're in a position
to change it because there are other people who feel that way. Okay. So when she was saying, just to make sure hello?
I do thank you for calling in and sharing.
Oh, you're hanging up on me now?
No.
You're hanging up on me?
Aren't I talking to you?
No, I thought you were saying thank you for calling in. I thought you were moving on. So are you hanging up?
No. I guess you've been abused by some people. I'm doing my very best not to do that. I'm talking to you.
Thank you. The girl who called in, when she was asking why I'm asking you the question, was she referring to the question about the Republican-Democrat thing or the age of consent thing or something else?
I think she was talking about the age of consent thing.
Okay. Anyway, so she didn't understand why I was asking, and you're talking about managing the vote. I'm guessing you're not interested in me explaining myself to her then, right?
8489, I'll be right with you, please.
I'm still asking then. Order. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Since your topic is about managing votes, I'm guessing, just please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing you're not interested in me explaining to her why I was asking, when she was curious why I'm asking you after you already answered and why I'm asking after you already answered. So I'm assuming you're not interested in me explaining to her why I'm asking after you already answered that.
No, because I can't give you another answer, because a further answer would deviate me from my show for today. And my show
I get that. That's fine. But I'm saying when she asked why I still asked you after you already answered, I'm assuming you don't want me to explain to her. I know she's gone now, but I'm assuming you don't want me to explain to her why I was asking after you still answered them?
No, not really.
Okay.
Man,
all right.
I want to move on from that because I want to get on course with my show, and I got another caller on hold right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. And thank you for being very respectful. Again, I don't want you to think I was trying to be mean or rude. I do respect everything the time you were giving me. You were very nice, you were very respectful, and you were very patient. I hope I didn't offend you or upset you or make you mad.
I'm not. I thank you for your call. You have a good
thank
one.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Later.
Caller 8489.
Hello, Pastor Thompson. How are you today?
Very good. How about yourself? I believe this is just a game.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I've been listening to your show, and we have given out some great information today, but the caller Bill is actually staying on too long. It's not his show. This is your show. We're listening and want to listen to you. He has been on about 14 minutes. I want to hear more about the topic for today, managing your vote. So I hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Appreciate you listening in and calling in, and I try to do my best to get people to participate and stop them from deviating my show, because it is important to me to get this message across about managing vote. It's a brand new show about why it's important for you to manage your vote. I thank all the callers for calling in today. I believe we are out of time now for the show. But tune in again on next week, next Tuesday. We're going to talk some more about why it's so important. And those of you who are listening, I'm going to ask you to take some time and research the Declaration of Independence. Let's do it one at a time, and then maybe next week we'll take the Constitution, and maybe the next week the Bill of Rights. But do some research. Do some heart searching. Ask yourself why it is so important to manage your vote. Ask yourself, what's that about? Ask yourself, what is Pastor AJ trying to tell you? Ask yourself these questions. Why it is so important? And if you're not satisfied with the way things run today, you're not satisfied with the violence and the killings and the corruption and the lies and deceptions, and I'm not just talking about in the political arena, I'm talking about also in the religious arena, and then that's a good reason why you should call into this show and listen in, participate, why you should research and then share what you research so that other people can hear. So there are people who might not understand something the way I say it, but they might understand it the way you say it. So, until next Tuesday, to the vote with Pastor A.J. Thompson. Bye-bye.